إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that there is nothing for a man or woman, nothing for a person other than what they strive for, other than what they make effort for. One of the things we, however, in this case, one of the things we frequently misunderstand is the meaning of effort and the level of effort and the quality of effort. There is one effort. To give you an example, if somebody wants to go for Hajj, then what does he do? He plans, he gets a passport, then he applies for a visa. The Saudi visa is a complicated process, takes you at least 3 weeks, maybe more, and then the passport goes to the embassy and so on and so forth, and then finally it comes with the visa, and then you buy your ticket, and then you leave your country and you reach Saudi Arabia, you reach Jeddah, the Hajj terminal, and you know the whole story there. You can be in the Hajj terminal for hours, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours, just clearing immigration. I mean, it can take you hours and hours, ages. When I first went for Hajj, this friend of mine gave me this beautiful piece of advice. I think it's a wonderful piece of advice. May Allah bless him. He told me, forget the concept of time. He said, Allah has given you the tawfiq to make Hajj. You made the niyyah of going for Hajj. And he said, even if you die without making Hajj during that trip, inshallah, Allah will give you the sawab for Hajj. So forget about time. Forget about getting from point A to point B in this period of time. He said, just go, relax. If the Hajj terminal takes you 8 hours, it takes you 8 hours. He said, there are toilets, there is place to pray, there is food to buy. So buy your food, eat your food, place to pray has carpet, go to sleep, pray. When the time for prayer comes, go to the toilet, relax. Don't get agitated, don't get irritated because of delays and so on and so forth. This is part of Hajj. And I think that's absolutely brilliant advice. And that's what happened to me the first time I went for Hajj. So, that's your Hajj terminal. By now, remember, until now you have not even cleared immigration. So then you will clear immigration and so on, and then you get onto a bus, and the bus takes you to Makkah, and then you make Umrah and so on and so forth, and then you go for, you go to Mina, and then you go from there to Arafat, and then after Arafat, on an average, once you get back into your bus in Arafat, to get out of the parking lot of the buses into the road takes you anything between 6 to 8 hours. Just to get out of the parking lot. If you have, forget about reaching Muzdalifah, just to get out of the parking lot. In that period of time, if you are walking, you would go all the way to Mina. But here you are sitting in this bus and it takes you 6 hours, Allah knows best, 4 hours. And then you get to Muzdalifah and then so on and so forth. And then your Hajj, you know, happens. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept the Hajj. So this is all effort and it gives you a result. There is also another Hajj which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah grant this to all of you inshallah, where you get invited by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So then what happens? Same Hajj, but you don't go anywhere. They ask for your passport. You get your passport, gets stamped in like 5 minutes. And then they will send you the tickets. And then when you land in Jeddah, you don't go to the Hajj terminal. You go to a special terminal. They receive you. They make you go. They ask you to go and sit down in a beautiful lounge. And then somebody serves you kahwa. And somebody serves you dates and so on and so forth. And they take away your passports. And 10 minutes later, by the time you finish your kahwa and dates, the passports are stamped and brought. And some magically from somewhere, your luggage also has arrived. And nobody lets you touch the luggage. There is somebody carrying your luggage. You go. There is no bus. There is a limousine with a driver and with a guide. And you go to Makkah. You are booked into a hotel. suite, not a room. There is a room, there is two bathrooms, there is a drawing room and the works. And normally when you go for Hajj, when you go from Makkah to Mina, the travel agent says you have to vacate your room, put all your luggage together, we store it for you. Then when you come back, in this case, you don't vacate anything. The room is yours till you finish your Hajj. The room is yours, suite is yours, and you are, you have access to that. You can come and go where you want. And then the most beautiful thing is in Arafat, you not only, of course, you get the opportunity to pray and so on and so forth, but you have this massive tent with fantastic food and everything else. And then the best, the cherry on the cake, according to me, is that Arafat to Muzdalifah, not out of the parking lot, Arafat to Muzdalifah takes you 10 minutes, which is how much it should take you actually. And why does that happen? Because they block all the roads, and then your car goes with the police escort in front and back and behind it, and you reach Muzdalifah. And of course, then on the day of Mina, the day of Hajj, you get invited to a banquet in the palace, in the Mina palace, with the king and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying there is great honor in meeting kings. There is lack of honor if you go to meet the king. This is not a, you didn't go to meet the king. The king invited you for a banquet with another couple of hundred people. So there is no, inshallah, no lack of honor in that. There is honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you got it without asking. Now, I'm just giving you this whole example because both these people, the first one and the second one, they made Hajj. The first one also made Hajj, second one also made Hajj, may Allah accept both. As far as the Ibadah is concerned, they did the same Ibadah. They did the same Ibadah, may Allah give both of them equal khushu, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their du'as and so on and so forth. But the first one did the Hajj with a lot of mashaqqat. He had to spend a lot of money, he went to a lot of trouble, he was irritated and all kinds of things happened to him and so on and so forth. And with great trials and tribulations, he did Hajj. The other one did Hajj beautifully, smoothly, is always escorted by somebody, he's taken, and all difficulties that would otherwise have befallen him were taken care of so that the difficulty doesn't befall him at all. Now, what is the difference? The difference is between somebody who understands the value of Al-Asbabul Adna and the value of Al-Asbabul A'la. Effort comes, effort gives results. Therefore, this is Darul Asbab without making use of the asbab, you cannot get results. We do not deny this. But there are two kinds of asbab. There is asbabul adna and there is asbabul a'la. There are the lower level asbab, lower level means, and the higher level means. Lower level means is what we do on a daily basis. We go morning till night. We are working, we are making effort, we are running here, running there, and so on and so on and so on. Asbabul A'la is where the person makes the same effort with his Rabb. Please understand this, there is a big misconception in the mind of people. The people say, Khali dua se kya hota? Khali dua se kuch nahi hota. Khali dua se kuch nahi hota. Khali bandok se kuch nahi hota. Goli dala to chalti. Khali dukan se kuch nahi hota. Saman rakhe to bikta. Samjha na? To khali se kuch nahi hota. I mean, just a dua, an empty dua, nothing happens. Just like an empty gun, nothing happens. Empty shop, nothing happens. Dua mein roo bharna padta hai. Dua has to be filled with your, with the effort. Dua must have roo, dua must have spirit. And what is that spirit? That spirit is the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That spirit is the hub of Allah jalla jalalu. Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the effort that goes into filling the roo in the dua, these people forget. And people say, Khali dua se kya? Now, Khali dua ka sawal nahi hai. The issue is, how much effort did the person put into making this dua where a dua has power? So both are making effort, but one is making effort in one direction, and the other one is making effort in another direction. One is making effort on the asbab, the other one is making effort on the musabbibul asbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not descend. There is no avatar concept in Islam. Allah does not descend and do your work for you. Allah will make the work happen through the same people, through the same means of the dunya. Jibreel alayhi salam is not going to come down with a bag of gold. But the same means, when they are driven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your service is a different ballgame altogether. And that is the effort that we need to make. Where one takes, he makes an effort, he is constantly worried about the effort, he is constantly filled with anxiety, what I have done, is it preserved, not preserved, I have attained some wealth, but that wealth, is it safe, is it not safe, what is going to happen to the market, because of the market I might lose everything I have, so he is constantly in this thing. Whereas the other one says, my wealth is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I ask, he will give me, khalas. The treasures of Allah are not subject to market conditions. So on the face of it, you will find that one of them is sitting on a pot of gold, the other one is sitting on nothing. But when the time comes, when they need it, both are getting what they want. So sitting on the pot of gold, he is not eating the pot of gold. I mean, it may be a pot of gold, but he can only use what he can use. The other one has nothing, apparently nothing. But when he wants, he said, Ya Rabbi, and Allah gives him. But how did he get there? He didn't get there without effort. Please understand this. Zuhud is something that we have forgotten today. Zuhud is something that we have forgotten today. Fasting, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody asked Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and this qawl is actually common to a lot of sahaba. They asked him, what is the most beautiful thing in life? What do you love the most? He said, fasting on hot days and praying tahajjud on cold nights, cold long nights. Eh? What was the need? These people were in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib is from the nasal of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why did they make effort? Because they understood it doesn't come. Even if you are from the nasal of a prophet, closeness to Allah does not come because of your nasal. Closeness to Allah comes because of your effort. The nasal is then the crown on the head. The connection is a different thing. The connection of blood and family and so on is a crown on the head when the effort is there to support it. The son of Nuh alayhi salam was also from the nasal of the Nabi. It didn't help him. The father of Ibrahim alayhi salam was from his nasal, but it didn't help him. So the issue, Abu Talib was from the nasal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or vice versa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the nasal of Abu Talib. And so was Ali ibn Abi Talib, his father, didn't help him. But the issue is the effort that goes into Zuhud. Zuhud is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ubudiyat. Zuhud is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, today people have even forgotten, and they think that the work of Islam means talking, teaching, studying books, and then going and giving lectures and so on, and then going attending lectures. This is all work of Islam. I'm not saying this is the work of shaitan. No, it is the work of Islam. Alhamdulillah, may Allah give them reward. But it has no ruh. Umumi, ijmali, I'm not accusing any individual. It has no ruh. It is your khali dukan. It's a dukan, but it's a khali dukan. There's no material in it to sell. Why? Because the ruh comes from that zuhud. There is a difference between Ibn Mubarak, Abdullah ibn Mubarak teaching a course and me teaching a course. And it's not because I'm teaching a different book, I'm teaching the same book. But what is it that Abdullah ibn Mubarak brought to that book? What is it that I am unable to bring to that book? That is the issue. That is the issue. When I teach, it is words. When Abdullah ibn Mubarak teaches, it is something else. That is the question. And I want to therefore close with a story that somebody, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the sister, she sent this story, beautiful story. It's been going around and around in my head from the time I got it a couple of days ago. And the story is written, narrated by Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest of the Tabi'in scholars, one of the greatest of the scholars of the Ummah, a man whose friend used to sit down and count the number of virtues of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Can you imagine? I mean, his own contemporaries. It's usually the fate of most people that their contemporaries have no value for them. It's only after they are dead that people say, oh, so-and-so was such a great person. But Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi was a person who was appreciated by his own people. And who were his companions? Fudail bin Ayaz, Sufyan al-Thawri. These were his companions. Imagine what kind of company that must have been, wallahi. Each one is a is a mountain of iman and taqwa and a person who's inshallah among the awliya of Allah. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi says that he said, I was in the haram in Makkah, and I went to Makkah at a time when there was a drought. So there was a lot of hardship, and I went to the haram and I found people were getting together to pray Salatul Istisqa. And he said, I noticed a young black African boy who was standing in a corner, and he was dressed in two pieces of burlap, which is Hessian cloth, you know, the sackcloth. He said he had one round his waist and he had one over his shoulder. And he said he was standing next to a column in the haram, quietly by himself. Abdullah Mubarak said, I went and stood next to him. And when the salah happened, this boy made dua and he said, Ya Allah, the faces of people are strained with their sins and with their fikr and their concerns and their worries. He said, O Allah, you have withheld rain because you want to teach your makhluk a lesson. You have withheld rain because you want to bring them back online. He says, O Allah, you are the one about whom we know nothing but goodness. He said, you are Halimul Kareem. You are the patient one. There's no one who has more patience than you. He says, O Allah, send us rain now. Send us rain now. Send us rain now. And Abdullah Mubarak says, this man kept on saying, send us rain now. Send us rain now. He kept on saying, send rain now. He said, until the clouds filled the sky. And he said, and rain came. And he said, this boy sat there quietly making tasbih. Abdullah Mubarak, Abdullah said, I knew something was different. So he said, when he finished and when he was going home, he said, I quietly followed him and I marked his house where he went in. And he said, then I went back to my friends. Who are his friends? Fudail bin Ayaz and Sufyan al-Thawri. He said, I went to Fudail bin Ayaz and I said to him, somebody He said, somebody got to Allah before us. He said, somebody took Allah before us. So Fudail bin Ayaz said, what do you mean? So Abdullah Mubarak said, I told him the story. And Fudail bin Ayaz said, then why are you here? Why did you not bring the boy with you? He said, take me to the boy. Fudail bin Ayaz said, take me to him. Abdullah Mubarak said, no, wait. I will do something. And he said, next morning I went to pray Fajr. And after Fajr I went to that house. And an old man opened the door. And I said to the old man, the old man recognized me. And he addressed him by his kunya, respectfully. And he said to him, what brings you here? I am greatly honored that you come to my door. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi said to him, he said, I have come for a black boy. So this man called out and he said, a young man who is big and muscular and strong, he came. And Abdullah bin Mubarak said, no, not this one. So this man kept on calling more and more and more until he said, finally this boy came. And Abdullah Mubarak said, I told him, this is the one I want. So this old man said to him, he said, but this one I cannot sell you. He said, if you want someone to do some work and so on, take one of the others. They are strong, they can do work and they are good people. He said, but this one is not even very strong. And he said, this one I can't sell you. So Abdullah Mubarak said, why? He said, because there is something about this boy. He brings barakah to my house. And he said, I love him like a son, I can't sell him. Abdullah Mubarak said, what does he cost you? He said, he costs me nothing because he makes some food and he sells it in the market and that's how he lives. And he says, the day he can't sell his food, he eats what he makes. So he is no cost to me. And I can't sell you. Abdullah Umar said, I was determined. So he said to him, he said, do you want me to go back to Fudail bin Iyad and say that you did not give the boy? You want me to go back to Sufyan al-Thawri and say this? So this man said, no. He said, okay, since you are asking me and you have honored me by coming to my house, he said, pay whatever price you want and I will give the boy to you. So Abdullah Umar said, I paid him something. And now he's going back with his boy. And on the way, this boy says to him, he says, oh my master. So Abdullah Mubarak said, I turned to him and I said, I am not your master, I am your servant. Mm-hmm. So the boy said to him, no, don't say that. He said, don't say that, it is not appropriate and proper for this master. He said, I am your slave, you just bought me. It is not appropriate and proper for you to call, to say that you are my servant. Don't say that. Abdullah Mubarak said, no. I bought you because that was the way, but he said, I am going to free you. I am going to build a house for you. I am going to get you married. And I want to spend my life in your service, as your servant. Huh? Who is saying this? Wallahi, today we have pride on our knowledge. Huh? Who has more knowledge than Abdullah ibn Mubarak? So the boy said, no, no, no. He said, don't say these things. He said, don't say these things. And then they came to a masjid. And this boy said to Abdullah Mubarak, he said to him, I have some rakat which I need to pray from yesterday. If you give me permission, I will just finish that nafil salah. Abdullah Mubarak said, we are close to the house of Fudail bin Iyad. He said, no, I want to, this is more appropriate, I will finish it here. And before that he asked Abdullah Mubarak, he said, why are you saying all these things to me? You will serve me and so on, so on. What do you know about me? What do you know about me? So Abdullah Mubarak said, no, I know. He said, no, tell me. He said, you have seen something. What is it you saw? He said, I saw your dua. So the boy said, oh, may Allah protect me. And then he went into the masjid, he finished his salat. And then he said to Abdullah Mubarak, he said, do you want anything from me? Do you need anything? Abdullah Mubarak said to him, nothing, please come with me, we will go and meet Fudail bin Iyad. The boy said, no. He said, Abdullah Mubarak said to him, please come with me, we meet Fudail bin Iyad, we'll have beautiful company, you know. The boy said, no. He said, the most beautiful company is the company of Allah. He said, there is no company more beautiful than the company of Allah. He said, as long as I was alone with Allah, this was the most beautiful company. He said, now you know. And he said, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only shows His people to those He loves. He said, but now you know. And from you others will know. And that sweetness is gone. So he says, I asked you if you need something because I think it is time for me to continue my journey. So Abdullah bin Mubarak said, no, but I want you to come with me. He said, Alhamdulillah, Jazakullah khair. And the man went, Abdullah bin Mubarak said, he went into sujood and he said, oh Allah, I want to meet you now. Oh Allah, call me now. He said, call me now. Abdullah Mubarak said, I did not reach him before he was gone. Abdullah Mubarak said, my whole being was filled with sadness that I could not attain what his boy got for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me from having the fate of a parrot. Who repeats whatever he has been taught. But when the cat gets him, he goes back to his original call. And his last words are his cat. He forgets all the Quran that he used to recite. May Allah save me from that. And may Allah save me from living the life of a flintstone who can light the fires of others, but who is himself a piece of stone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me from this fate. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.